Doctrine number two. However precious and invaluable soever the soul of man is, it may be lost and cast away forever. This proposition is supposed and implied in our Savior's words in the text, and plainly expressed in, quote, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat," close quote. The way to hell is thronged with passengers. It is a well-beaten road. One draws another along with him and scoffs at those that are afraid to follow. Facilis descensus Averni. It is pleasant sailing with wind and tide. Some derive the word hell from a verb which signifies to carry or thrust in. Millions go in, but none return thence. Millions are gone down already, and millions more are coming after, as fast as Satan and their own lusts can flurry them onward. You read not only of single persons, but whole nations drowned in this gulf. Quote, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God," close quote. How rare is the conversion of a soul in the dark places of the earth, where the sound of the gospel is not heard. The devil drives them in droves to destruction, scarce a man being reluctant or drawing back. And though some nations enjoy the inestimable privilege of the gospel of salvation, yet multitudes of precious souls perish notwithstanding, sinking into hell daily, as it were, between the merciful arms of a Savior stretched out to save them. The light of salvation is risen upon us, but Satan draws the thick curtains of ignorance and prejudice about the multitude, that not a beam of saving light can shine into their hearts. Quote, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them," close quote. Now, Flavel's going to break this part down. If our gospel, ours, not by way of institution, as the authors, but by way of dispensation, as the ministers and preachers of it. And certainly, it was never preached with that clearness, authority, and efficacy by any mere man, as it was by Paul and the rest of the apostles. And yet, the gospel, so powerfully preached, is by him here supposed to, and here comes the second point, be hid. If not as to the general light and superficial knowledge of it, set as to its saving influence and converting efficacy upon their hearts, this never reaches home to the souls and spirits of multitudes that hear it, but it is never finally so hidden except, and here comes the third one, to them that are lost. So that all those to whom the converting and saving power of the gospel never comes, whatever names and reputations they may have among men, yet this text looks upon them all as a lost generation. They may have as many amiable homiletic virtues, as sweet and lovely natures, as clear and piercing eyes in all other things, as many others. But they are such, however, and then here comes the fourth one, they are such whose eyes the god of this world hath blinded. Satan is here called the god of this world, not properly, but by a mimesis, because he challenges to himself the honor of a god, and has a world of subjects that obey him, and to secure their obedience, he blinds them, that they may never see a better way or state than that he has drawn them into. Therefore, he is called the ruler of the darkness of this world, who rules in the hearts of the children of disobedience. The eye of the soul is the mind, that thinking, considering, and reasoning power of the soul. This is, as the philosophers truly call it, the, and then there's a Greek word I can't pronounce, it's called, and it leads, it is the leading faculty to all the rest, the guide to all the other faculties, which, in the order of nature, follow this, their leader. If this be blinded, the wild, which is cassia potentia, a blind power in itself, and all affections blindly following the blind, therefore all must needs fall into the ditch. And this is the case of the far greater part of even the professing world. Let us suppose a number of blind men upon an island, where there are many smooth paths, all leading to the top of a perpendicular cliff, and these blind men going on continually, some in one path and some in another, but all in some one of those many paths which lead to the brink of their ruin, which they see not. It must needs follow. If they all move forward, the whole number will, in a short time, be cast away, the island cleared, and its inhabitants dead and lost in the bottom of the sea. This is the case of the unregenerate world. They are now upon this habitable spot of earth, environed with the vast ocean of eternity. There are multitudes of paths leading to eternal misery. One man takes this way and another that, as it is. Quote, "We have turned every one to his own way," close quote. One to the way of pride, another to the way of covetousness, a third to the way of persecution, a fourth to the ways of civility and morality. And so on they go, not once making a stand or questioning to what end it will bring them, till at last, over they go, at death, and we hear no more of them in this world. And thus, one generation of sinners follows another, and they that come after approve and applaud those miserable wretches that went before them. And so, hell fills, and the world empties its inhabitants daily into it. Now, I will make it my work, out of a dear regard to the precious souls of men, and in hope to prevent, which the Lord in mercy grant, the loss and ruin of some, under whose eyes this discourse shall fall, and in this case, whose ears this discourse shall fall, to note some of the principal ways in which precious souls are lost, and to put such bars into there as I am capable to put. And among many more, I will set a mark upon these following 12 paths, wherein millions of souls have been lost, and millions more are confidently and securely following after, among which, it is likely, some are within one step, one day, or even 1 hour, to their eternal downfall and destruction. There is but one way in all the world to save and preserve the precious souls of men, but there are many ways to lose and destroy them. It is here, as it is in our natural birth and death, but one way into the world, and but a multitude out of it. And first, the first way to hell discovered. Number one. And to begin, where, indeed, the ruin of very many does begin. It will be found that ill education is the highway to destruction. Vice need not be planted. If the gardener neglect to dress, sow, and manure his garden, he need not give the weeds a greater advantage. But if he also scatter the seeds of hemlock, docks, and nettles into it, he spoils it and makes it fit for nothing. Many parents, and those godly as well, are guilty of too many neglects. Through carelessness, worldly encumbrances, or even fond indulgence. And while they neglect the season of sowing better seed, the devil takes hold of it. If they will not improve it, he will. If they teach him not to pray, he will teach them to curse, swear, and lie. If they put not the Bible or catechism in their hands, he will put obscene ballads into them. And thus the offspring of many godly parents turn into degenerate plants and prove a generation that know not the God of their fathers. This debauched age can furnish us with too many sad instances hereof. Thus they are spoiled in the bud. Simple ignorance in youth becomes affected, and the willful ignorance in age. Blushing sins in children become impudent in age, and all this for want of a timely and prudent preventing care. Others there are of the rude and ignorant multitude, who are bred themselves much like the beasts they daily converse with all. And so they are fitly described. Go into their houses, and you may sooner find in the window or upon the shelf a pack of cards than a Bible or a catechism. Their beds and tables differ little, or not at all, from the stalls and cribs where beasts lie down and feed, in respect of any worship of God among them, or if, for fashion salve, a few words be huddled over in the evening, when their bodies are tired. The man says something, he scarcely knows what. The wife is asleep in one corner, the children in another, and the servants in a third. This is the education multitudes of parents give their children all the week. And when the Sabbath comes, the most they learn to know at church is where their own seat stands, and that it is necessary to speak with such a neighbor after prayers about such or such a bargain or business for the following week. And others there are who breed their children as profanely as these do sottishly, teaching them by their examples the newest oaths that were last minted in hell, and to revile and scoff all serious godliness, and the sincere professors of it, smiling to hear with what an emphasis they can talk in the dialect of devils, and how wittily they can droll upon godly ministers and Christians. Such families are nurseries for hell, and though God, by an extraordinary hand of providence, now and then snatches a soul by conversion from among them as a brand out of the fire, yet generationally and generally they die as they live, going, quote, to the generation of their fathers, or they shall never see light, close quote. I know education and regeneration are two things, but I also know one is frequently made the instrument of working the other, and that the favor of what first seasons our youth, generally, abides to odd age. We may observe, all the world over, how tenacious men are of that which is, and again another Greek word I can't read, delivered to them by their parents. Oh, what a cut must it be to the heart of that father whose son's life shall tell his conscience what a profane son's lips once told his father to his face. Quote, if I have done evil, I have learned it of you, close quote. Had they felt more of your prudent correction, and I think he's speaking to parents here, it might have been prevented their destruction. Quote, thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell, close quote. That this is a common beaten path to hell is beyond all question. But how to bar it up and stop the multitudes that are engaged in it to their own ruin, this is the labor. This is the work. I cannot be large, but I will offer a few weighty considerations. The first way to hell barred. Number one, let all parents consider what a fearful thing it is to be the instruments of ruining forever those that received their beings instrumentally from them, and to seek whose good they stand obliged by all the nature, by all the laws of God and nature. In vain are all your cares and studies for their bodies, while their souls perish for lack of knowledge. You rejoiced at their birth, but they will have cause to curse the day they were born of you, and say, quote, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which I was conceived, close quote. You were solicitous for their bodies, but careless of their souls. Earnest to see them rich, but indifferent whether they were gracious. You neglected to teach them the way of salvation, but the devil did not neglect to teach them the way of sin. You will one day wish you had never been parents, when the doleful cries of your damned children shall ring such notes as these in your ears. Quote, O cursed father, O cruel, merciless mother, whose examples have drawn me after you into all this misery. You had time enough and motive enough to have warned me of this place and misery while my heart was tender and my affections pliable. Had it not been as easy to have put a Bible as a playbook before me? To have chastised me when I provoked God by sin as when I provoked you about a trifle? One word spoken in season might have saved my soul. One reproof wisely given and set on by your example might have preserved me. Had it not been the same pains to have asked me, child, what will you do to be saved? As, what will you do to live in this world? Or, had I but observed any serious religion in you, had I but found or heard my father or mother upon their knees in prayer, it might have awakened me to a consideration of my condition. In my youth, I was shamefaced, fearful, credulous, and apt to imitate. Had you but had wisdom, as other parents have, to have taken hold of any of these handles in time, you had rescued my soul from hell. Nay, so cruel have you been to your own child that you allowed me no time, if I had had a disposition, for any exercise of religion. Yea, you have quenched and stifled the sparks of convictions and better inclinations that sometimes were in my heart. Oh, happy had it been if I had never been born of you or seen your faces, close quote. This must be the result and issue of your negligence, except God, by some other hand, which is no thanks to you, rescue them from their impending ruin. Number two, let all children whose unhappy lot it is to be born of and educated by carnal and irreligious parents consider God has endued them with a reason and a conscience of their own to enable them to make a better choice than their parents did, and that there is no taking sanctuary from the wrath of God in their parents' examples. We read of a good Abijah, quote, in whom was found some good thing towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam, close quote. Here was a child that would not follow his wicked father to hell, though he had both the authority of a father and of a king over him. Quote, you must honor your parents, but still you must prefer your God before them, close quote. God will never lay it to your account as your sin, but place it to the account of your duty and comfort that you refused to follow them in the paths of sin and destruction. No law of God, no tie of nature binds you to obey their commands or tread in their steps farther than they command in God's authority and name and walk in his ways. Your temptations, indeed, are strong, and disadvantages great. But the greater will the mercy of your deliverance be. It will be no plea for you at the judgment seat to say, Lord, my father or mother did so and so before me, and I thought I might safely follow them. Or, thus and thus they commanded me, and I thought I was bound by their command to obey them. Therefore, look to your own souls, if they are so desperate as to cast away their own. If some children had not minded their own salvation more than their parents minded it, they had never been saved. Number three, let this consideration work upon the hearts and bowels of all serious Christians to pity and help those that are like to perish under this temptation. And if their parents be so ignorant that they cannot, or so negligent that they do not instruct and warn their own children, you, that at any time have an opportunity to help them, have compassion on them and do it. It is true, they are none of your children by nature, but would it not be a singular honor and comfort to you if God should make them so by grace? Thousands of children, and it may be some of you, are more indebted to mere strangers upon this account than to their nearest relations. You know not how much good an occasional word may do them. All have not ability to be so publicly useful in this way as a late worthy minister of our own nation has been, who in Compassion to the Dark and Barbarous Corners in Wales, where ignorance and poverty shut up the way of salvation to them, at a vast expense, procured the translation and printing of the Bible in their own language, and freely sent it among them. Oh, you that have the bowels of Christians in you, pity and help them. What is it for the saving of a precious soul to drop a serious exhortation as you have opportunity unto them to bestow a Bible or suitable book upon them? Believe it, these little sums of shillings and pence so bestowed will stand for more in the audit day than all the hundreds and thousands other ways expended. The second way to hell discovered. Number two, or Roman numeral number two. A second way to hell, in which multitudes are found hastening to their own damnation, is the way of affected ignorance. The generality of people, even in a land enlightened with the gospel, are found grossly ignorant of Christ, the true and only way to heaven, and of repentance and faith, the only way to Christ. And thus, the people perish for lack of knowledge. If the tree of knowledge had been hedged in from the common people, as it is in popish countries, and it had been criminal to find a Bible in our houses, there might have been some cloak and pretense for our ignorance. But to be stupidly ignorant of the most obvious, plain, and necessary truths, and yet bred up among Bibles and ministers? Oh, how ominous a darkness is this, foreboding the blackness of darkness forever. For if the hiding of the gospel from the hearts of men be a token to them that they are lost souls, how much notional light soever they may have, much more must they be lost to all intents, from whose hearts and heads too it is judicially hidden. They that know not God are in the catalogue of the damned. And if this be life eternal, to know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, then this must be death eternal, to be grossly and affectedly ignorant, both of God, the Ide, and Christ, the Way, by the rule of true opposition. Look over the several countries in the professing world. Go into the families of country farmers, day laborers, and poor people, and accept here and there a family or person into whose heart God has graciously shined. What barbarous, brutish ignorance overspreads them. They converse from morning to night with the beasts, though they have souls which are fit companions for angels and capable of sweet conversation with God. The earth has opened up her mouth and swallowed up all their time, strength, thoughts, and souls, as it did the bodies of Korah and his company. They know the value of a horse or cow, but know not the worth of Christ, pardon, or their own souls. They mind daily what work they have to do with their hands, but forget all they have to do upon their knees. Their whole care is to pay their fine or rent to their landlord, but not a thought who shall pay their debts to God. They are so far from putting unnecessary business aside to make way for the service of God, that God's service is put aside as an unnecessary business to make way for the world. The world holds them fast till they are asleep, and will be sure to visit them as soon as their eyes are open, that there may be no vacancy or door of opportunity left open for a thought of their souls, or of another life, to slip in. Or it, at any time they think or speak of these matters, then the world, like Pharaoh, when Israel spake of sacrificing, is sure to speak of more work. And thus they live and die without knowledge. There is no key of knowledge, as it is fitly called, to open the door of the soul to Christ. He and his ministers, therefore, must stand without. Pity may they, or pity they may, but help they cannot, till knowledge open the door. Satan is ruler of the darkness of this world, that is, of all blind and ignorant souls. Ignorance is the chain with which he binds them fast to himself. Until that chain be knocked off by divine illumination, they cannot be emancipated and made free of Christ's kingdom. Quote, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, close quote. Ignorance, indeed, incapacitates a man to commit the unpardonable sin. But what is he the nearer while it disposes him to all other sins which damn as well as that? By ignorance, it is that all the essays of the gospel for men's salvation are frustrated, that naked assent is put in the place of saving faith, morality mistaken for regeneration, a few dead duties laid in the room of Christ and his righteousness. Indeed, it would fill a greater book than this is to show the mischievous effects of ignorance and how many ways it destroys the precious souls of men. But seeing I can speak but little in this place to it, let me bar up this way to hell, if it be possible, by a few serious considerations. The second way to hell, shut up. Number one, let the ignorant consider. God has created their souls with the capacity of knowing him and enjoying him, as well as others that are famed in the world for knowledge and wisdom. There is a spirit in man, and in the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The faculty is in man, but the wisdom and knowledge that enlightens it is from God. As the dial shows the hour of the day when the sunbeams fall upon it. If, therefore, God be sought into the use of such helps and means as you have, even the weakest and dullest soul has a capacity of being made wise unto salvation. Quote, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Close quote. Augustine tells us of a man so weak and simple that he was commonly reputed a fool in all the neighborhood, and yet says, I believe the grace and fear of God was in him. For when he heard any swear or take the name of God in vain, he would throw stones at them and show his indignation against sin by all the signs he could make. Number two, you that are so grossly ignorant in the matter of your salvation, are many of you very knowing, prudent, and subtle persons in the affairs of the world? Quote, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Close quote. Had those parts which you have been improved and heightened by study and observation about spirituals, as they have been about earthly things, you had never been so ignorant or dead-hearted as you are. You might have been as well versed in your Bibles as you are in the almanacs you yearly buy and study. You might have understood the proper seasons of salvation as well as of husbandry. The great and necessary points on which your salvation depends are not so many or so abstruse and intricate, but your plain and inartificial heads might have understood them, and that with less pains than you have been at for your bodies. What though you cannot comprehend the subtleties of schoolmen, you may apprehend the essentials of Christianity. If you cannot strictly and scholastically define faith, what hinders, if your hearts were set upon Christ and salvation, but you may feel it? Which is more than many learned men do that can define and dispute about it? You cannot put an argument in mood and figure, no matter if you can, by comparing your Bibles and hearts together, draw savingly and experimentally this conclusion. I am in Christ, and my sins are pardoned. You cannot determine whether faith goes before repentance or repentance before faith. But for all that you might feel both the one and the other upon your own souls, which is infinitely better, it is not, therefore, your incapacity, but negligence and worldliness that is your ruin. Number three, how many are there of your rank, order, and education, all whose external advantages and helps you have, and all your encumbrances and discouragements they had, who yet have attained to an excellent degree of saving knowledge and heavenly wisdom. How often have I heard such spiritual, savory, experimental truths in conference and prayer from plain rustics, such spiritual reasonings about the great concerns of salvation, such judicious and satisfying resolutions of cases depending upon the sensible and experimental part of religion, as if humbled, convinced, and esteemed me, and made me say, Serguent in docti, and etc. These are the men that will take heaven from the proud and scornful ingeniosi of the world. Not many wise, not many learned and acute. Many knowing and learned heads are in hell, and many illiterate and weak ones gone to heaven, and others in the way thither who never had better education, stronger parts, or more leisure than yourselves, so that you are without excuse. To conclude, would you heartily seek it of God, and would the Spirit, which he hath promised to give them that ask him, would you heartily seek it of God, and would the Spirit become your teacher? How soon would the light of the saving knowledge of God in the face of Christ shine into your hearts? No matter how ignorant, dull, and weak the scholar be, if God once become the teacher, you are not able to purchase or want time to read many books. But if once you were sanctified persons, the anointing you would receive from the Father would teach you all things. Your own hearts would serve you for a commentary upon a great part of the Bible. It would make you of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. One drop of your knowledge should be more worth than all learned arts and sciences in the world to you. And is God so far from you, and his illuminating spirit at such a distance, that there is no hope for you to find him? Is there never a private corner about your houses, or barns, or in the fields, where you can turn aside, if it be but a quarter of an hour at a time, to pour out your souls to God, and beg the spirit of him? Miserable wretch! Is your whole life such a cumber and clutter of cares and puzzles about the world that you have no leisure to mind God, soul, or eternity? Oh, doleful state! The Lord, in much mercy, pity, and awaken you. Will you not once strive and stumble to save your soul? What? Perish, as it were, by consent. How great, then, is that blindness?